And thank you, worship team. This is the body and blood. And this part of our service, we're going to start our time of communion. Communion is something that the church has been doing for millennia, as they come together to celebrate both the body and the blood of Christ through these elements of bread and wine, or in our case, juice. And these elements are not just two random elements that we pick out for some odd reason and then eat together, somehow symbolizing the body and blood of Christ. But this entire meal is symbolic of God's love for us. And as we heard today, even in the story for the kids, that there's this agape love that God has for us, this kind of love that is just in so many ways seemingly unattainable for us to experience with one another. But it's the kind of love that he hopes for us. The whole Passover meal, the Lord's Supper, is a example of his great agape love for us. You see, the meal is really a condensed version of what was the Passover meal. The Passover meal pointed back to a time of God's redemption of his people, back in the days when they were in slavery in Egypt. The people were there, they were enslaved, and they were looking forward to this promised land that God had promised them. They said that God said that I will take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I know when I read those verses, that really doesn't excite me too much. Don't get me wrong, I like milk. I certainly like honey on my biscuits. But a land flowing with milk and honey just seems to lack something for me. But you've got to remember, these are people that lived in a very arid, a very dry, and an area where something like fresh milk and honey were just not as obtainable. It was really a way of God saying, I'm taking you to a land that is just flowing with goodness for you, blessings for you, things that you can't obtain here, but you'll have there. It's a wonderful place, a place that I've prepared for you, a place that will be your possession that you will own. And so the people longed for it, and they looked forward to it. But it seemed like it was so distant, because here they were, slaves in Egypt, building mud bricks and building buildings and being whipped by slave masters. And it just seemed like this whole idea of this promised land was going to be so far from them. But God heard the cries of his people. And through an event called the Passover, he redeemed his people. There was a spirit that was sent, and it slayed the firstborn male of every family there in Egypt, except for the families who had the protection of the blood of the lamb. And a lamb was sacrificed, and the blood was put over the doorpost. And so over that Passover time, the reason why it's called Passover is that spirit would pass over the homes that had the blood on the doorpost, and everyone remained safe. But all the families that didn't have the protection of the blood of the Lamb, there was suffering, there was death. And there was a great cry in Egypt, and the cry out was, let those people go, let the Israelites leave, let God's people leave this place. Because they had been trying time and time again, and Pharaoh had kept stopping and resisting. But finally, the Passover event was the final straw, and they let the people go. And the people rejoiced about God's redemptive work amongst his people. And so the Passover meal, every element of the Passover meal was pointing back in some way to this Passover event, this redemptive event. And they had been doing this for decades and centuries and millennia, all the way up and through to Jesus' time. And every year they would get together at Passover time and they would have a meal. Certain things like the bread. Most of the time they cooked bread, they used yeast. Now, if you've ever made a batch of bread and forgot to put the yeast in, what do you have? They're called crackers. Okay? You might think it's going to be a beautiful loaf, but it will never rise. And when you bake it, it will be dense and it will be hard. It doesn't have the air bubbles in it. It's not that great. The reason why the people celebrated the Passover without with bread that was what you call unleavened, or bread that didn't have yeast in it, is because it symbolized how quickly they had to leave Egypt after the Passover. So quickly they didn't have time to put yeast in their bread. So they would eat a bread that didn't have yeast, and it would remind them of this time. Every element of the Passover was a part of that. And what we have here today is we have bread and we have a cup. And each one symbolizes in some way a part of the Passover, but there were two elements of many that were eaten in the Passover meal that Jesus gave special significance to. And that's what we call the Lord's Supper today, and we're going to talk about those elements. I'm going to invite our servers to come up at this time. first element that we're going to talk about today is the bread. And in Jesus' day, they would have had a piece of bread similar to this. See, it's very thin, kind of cracker-like. It is unleavened bread. It's called matzah, if you want to know the Jewish term for it. But they had multiple times they would serve bread throughout the meal. Again, unleavened to remind themselves of many aspects of the Passover. But at the very beginning of the meal, the father, or whoever was the person of authority that was actually serving the Passover and reading all the parts that were supposed to be read and saying all the prayers that were supposed to be said, would take a piece of bread. And this bread had a special name called the afikomen. And the father would take the bread and he would break it. He'd break that afikomen in half, and he would take one portion of it, and he'd take a dinner napkin or some kind of a linen cloth, and he would wrap it up. Now this, believe it or not, was a very exciting time for the children. You might wonder, why do they care about the father wrapping up a piece of bread? Because what they would do is they would take this afikomen, and the father would have the children hide their eyes, and he would go hide it somewhere in the house or have someone hide it. They would tuck it away somewhere underneath something, someplace the children wouldn't think to look. And then at the end of the mealtime, they would come back to the afikomen, and the father would say, it's now time to find it. Kids were so excited, they'd jump up from the table and they'd scour the house looking to find the afikomen. And whoever found it would bring it back to the father, and he would give them a reward, sometimes a coin or a piece of candy or something they really, really wanted. So the kids loved the part of the meal that was afikomen. The Passover meal was something for the whole family. Sometimes we get this stuck in our minds of the Last Supper scene, you know, and it was just Jesus and 12 men that never smiled or did anything fun. It was anything but that. It was a meal of celebration. The scriptures don't tell us that this last meal, this Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples, doesn't tell us that it was only those 12. I envision it including more people than just those 12. There were certainly elements and things he wanted to teach, but Jesus had many followers. And I've got to think there had to be some children around there that when Jesus broke the afikomen and hid it, that were excited about it, other than just Peter, who probably wanted to find it, I'm sure. And they'd take the other part, and they'd put it in the matzah pouch, and it would be brought out later on in the meal to be eaten. But when Jesus took that bread and broke it, he said something different about that piece of bread than what was ever said before. There was a lot of mystery surrounding the afikomen. Why was it there? Why was it broken? What did it mean? The rabbis would talk about that the brokenness of the bread somehow symbolized this Passover lamb that was broken. And Jesus, when he took it and he broke it, he said, it had never heard before. He said, this is my body, which has been broken for you. In other words, Jesus was a symbolism that was in the afikomen. And when you think of Jesus' story, of what was just going to be taking place in that very next day, Jesus' body would be broken, be wrapped in a linen cloth. It would be hidden away in a tomb. It would come back and be found just a few short days later with great reward. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover. And that's why the bread is a part of the Lord's Supper that we celebrate. It's the piece of the Passover meal that reminds us of his love for us, that he was willing to have his body broken for us, that he is the Passover lamb. And as he took the bread, he asked God's blessing for it. I'm asked that Sherry would pray for our bread this morning.
Father, we come to you this morning with absolutely grateful hearts for the fact that you sent your son down here to be broken, to take our sin. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you gave it to us freely, and we just thank you. We ask that you help us to remember that this is why we celebrate communion. And we thank you and praise you so much for this gift that we can never repay. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sherry. Here at Hillcrest, we practice open communion, meaning anyone here, as long as you are a follower of Jesus, are invited to take communion with the rest of us. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to take it. Parents, we just ask that you make a decision for your own children in working with them on whether they're ready or not to partake in communion. But as the plates come around, please hold on to the piece of bread, and we'll take it together at the end. We do have a brand new song that we're going to be playing during this communion time, a time of reflection. It's called Passover, so it's new. You don't know it. So just listen to the words and let them just be a prayer for you as you soak them in.
Pass over me. Let your wrath pass over me. May your grace stay with me. Let your mercy be. Take all of me. Let me go.
Because this is the body and the blood of Christ that has been shed and broken for us. That we need to be sure that in our hearts, that we don't hold something against someone else in the body of Christ. That we need to offer forgiveness. That we need to receive forgiveness. That we need to let go of some of the hurts and be an extension of grace that God would have for us. The same kind of grace He shows us. Before we take this bread, we just take a moment to silence your own heart, confess any sin that you have, and ask forgiveness in the areas you need forgiveness. As Jesus took the bread, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus also took a cup of wine. Here we have juice. But the cup was very symbolic, not only because of what was happening at that moment, but because there was a cup that was served multiple times throughout the Passover meal. And again, each time the cup was passed, it had symbolism. They would talk about what this drink meant and then what the next drink meant in each cup. The cup that we celebrate as part of the Lord's Supper was the third cup that was passed along, and it's called the cup of redemption. And as Jesus took the wine and as he poured it into the cup to be passed around, he said something very unique and different. Again, something that had not been heard before the many times every single year that they had celebrated the Passover with their father or whoever was leading the Passover, maybe even themselves and their own families leading the Passover. There was a book in which he recited the various things. Some that were, of course, very pious and righteous have the whole thing memorized. But as Jesus took this cup of redemption, it was a cup that was to remember the redeeming work that God had done in redeeming his people from Egypt. But it also was looking forward to a future redemption. Because the people, obviously, though they were in their promised land, were back under persecution. The Romans had taken over the area. They were under Roman rule. Much of their belief system was being challenged. And in the years to come, there would be another great war as they battled for who they were as a people, and they would be scattered throughout the area. They were under persecution, and they knew it. And they were looking for the redeeming God to come back yet again to redeem them because they needed redemption. They were a people always in need of redemption. I think we can relate because we are always a people needing to be redeemed. And as he took the cup of redemption, he said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. And it has been secured by my blood." He said, "This is my blood, which has been poured out for the sins of his people." And as he took that cup, he offered God's prayer over it. I'm going to ask that Darwin to pray for our cup this morning.
Father God, as we reflect on the events that bring us here today, we're so humbled and we're grateful for your great love, your great mercy, and the grace and the forgiveness that you show us every day. We just praise and thank you for your willingness to have your blood spilt for us. It's something we cannot repay. It's something that we certainly don't deserve. But that's what makes you a great God, is you take charge and you do what needs to be done. And we just thank you for that. We remember the great sacrifice and the pain and the suffering that you went through to secure us forever. And we certainly look forward to the hope to come. And we thank you and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, please hold the cup. And we will take it together.
Jesus' blood is all I need. It is his grace and his mercy. It is his life. It is his love. I am cleansed by Jesus' blood. wash over me. Jesus' blood is all I need. It is His grace and His mercy. It is His life. It is His love. I am cleansed by Jesus' blood. Oh, I am cleansed by Jesus'
cup of redemption. Jesus is our Redeemer. He required His body to be broken as it was for the Lamb's body to be broken. And as just as that Lamb's blood was put over the doorpost, which protected those within, it is Jesus' blood that protects us as His people. It is only those that have found the protection through Christ that are saved. And it's why as a church we remember Jesus in this way. To proclaim His life, but also His death, and ultimately His resurrection. And as He took that cup and as He passed it with His disciples, He said, "This is My blood, which has been poured out for you. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me." Just as Dr. Tarina Heimerstein, did I get that right? Tarina Frankenstein said, it is that agape love that is the kind of love that God has for us. It is unconditional, meaning you can't earn it, you can't win it, you can't lose it. Unconditional. It is not conditioned upon what I do. I honestly cannot comprehend that kind of love. I am not deserving of God's love. I've not done anything to earn it. Yet He offers it to me unconditionally, and it is agape love. And the mystery of the Christian life is that we are to give that agape love to others. Which means the people in your life, you are to love them unconditionally. You are to forgive freely, no matter how big the offense is. That you are to give grace where grace is needed. You are to give forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. And in my life, I need a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness. I probably make many of you practice a lot of agape. I want to thank you when you have. But the scriptures say that the world out there who is looking for that agape love will know that we're Christians by our what? Our love. And the word there is our agape. It is only through Christ that we're able to love in this way. I think one main reason is because we have received that love. But the other one is because He says that He gives His Spirit's power within us to give that love to each other. May we be known by our agape love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your love for us. And though we do not deserve it, though we have not earned it, we receive it. Lord, let us not receive it out of selfishness. But let us receive it because we know the important task and responsibility You've given us to share it with others. May others come to know You who are desperate, in need of grace and hope and unconditional love. May we give that agape love to others as it has been freely given to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Marissa and Haley to come on up. We're going to close our service by praying for them. We've got some certificates for you guys here too. There you go, Haley. There you go, Marissa. Let's pray for them. Stand behind you guys here. Father God, I thank you for Marissa and Haley and, Lord, their love for you and how they publicly committed that and communicated it today. And Lord, may they be encouraged from this day forward. May they stand strong in their faith as they've done here. And Lord, I know that there's going to be many trials that will come their way, times in which Satan himself will want to derail them and have them thinking of things other than the things of God. Lord, I pray your protection over their lives. May they live strong for you. May they be good witnesses of yours. And Lord, may they be those that as they have received that agape love for you, may be freely giving it to others. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for their testimony and that they stood strong today in front of all of us. We are so proud of them and we're pleased to have them as a part of our family here. We ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you give them a hand? Stay here, girls. Well, we want to thank you for coming today. Next week, we start that brand new series, SMS in the Bible. If you don't know what SMS is, that's because you're old. That's text messaging. There are some short books in the Bible that are kind of like text messages in the Bible, and we're going to look at one each week through that. So we invite you to come back next week and join us for that series. If you'd like to come up and encourage these girls, maybe shake their hands, tell them that you were encouraged by what they did today, and welcome them here. We invite you to do that. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.
We see it in the darkest place. 'Cause love is in your powerful name. We shine the light of beauty and grace.